Song for us tonight. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20 tonight. Always when preacher's gone, you just wonder who's going to be up here, right? That's the question that always comes across. Who's going to be the one that comes up tonight? And we enjoy the opportunity to preach, but there is sure nothing like having your preacher being here. And so it's all right. We can smile. You know, there's tough times, but He is the God both in the valley and He's the God on the mountain. There's no doubt about that. So I always say it when I come up. I appreciate the opportunity. Never take it lightly whose pulpit I stand behind. And I appreciate the stance our preacher takes when he preaches from this pulpit. And so if you're there in 1 Kings chapter 20, we'll begin in verse number 1. And it says this, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. Verse number 4, And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have." We'll stop right there. Tonight, the title of the message is this, Teetering Towards Tolerance. Teetering Towards Tolerance. My wife was giving me a hard time. I always like to alliterate a message, and so that's where this one comes from. Teetering Towards Tolerance. Tonight, let's have a word of prayer. We'll jump in to the message. Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with our preacher. I pray that you'd be with Mrs. Angel and or the family. I pray that you'd help them. But Lord, we pray tonight. There's no doubt some tired people here, and I pray that you would be with them. Lord, your hand of Lord, just guidance. Lord, I pray you'd be with the message. Lord, I pray you'd get me out of the way, that you would take the preeminence in the service, and I pray that what's said would be glorifying and honoring to you. In your name we pray. Amen. How old, a question for you tonight, how old do you think you were when you knew what a liberal or a conservative was? How old do you really, I can see people's minds beginning to turn right now. How old do you think you were when you remember really what conservative or liberal? I would probably say for me anyway, it was when I got to high school, kind of after that junior high age, I guess. I don't know, maybe before that, but that's probably when I really started thinking and understanding some politics, things like that. But, you know, growing up, at least for me anyway, the biggest liberals that I knew in my life were my parents. I didn't even get a chuckle out of that. Okay. Follow me here. Seriously, I would come with something that I did wrong. I mean, I was guilty. There was no doubt about it. I'd come to the bargaining table and list my, well, at least I thought, my demands and reasons of why there shouldn't be punishment. And they wouldn't even hear me out. They wouldn't even listen to me. They wouldn't even buy any of what I had to offer. Does that not sound like a liberal to you? I mean, right there, that pretty well sums it up. For me anyway, they wouldn't listen to anything I had to say. I was guilty. I was done. In fact, they demanded that I conform to their rules. Now I'm meddling now. Yeah, now here we go. They demanded that I conform to those rules that they set. It was horrible. It was awful. I'm being a little facetious tonight, but follow where I'm going here. I'm very thankful for the hedge that I had growing up. But isn't that really the liberal mentality? Isn't it, though? I'm the one calling the shots. In fact, if you get in charge, I want to still be the one calling the shots. And if you're calling the shots and I want to call the shots, oh well, it's my way or the highway. It's kind of where I think of this story anyway. You know, friend, we aren't going to change the crowd. The world is going to act just like the world acts. Liberals are going to act just like the liberals act. They're going to keep doing what they continue to do. The question is, what are we going to do? Where are we going to stand? Tonight, I just want to point out some thoughts about Christians teetering towards tolerance. More probably, I could have just said compromise. Let's just throw it there, all right? Compromise. In our own Christian lives, let's look at the Scripture tonight for a comparison. So I'll ask my two kings that I asked earlier tonight if they'd come help me to be part of my illustration. Come right on up here. That's right. Kings aren't shy. All right? You can sit here, king. Kings sit in a kingly chair. That's right. My other king over here, he's a slow king. It's not much to look at, but he's a king anyway. No. We have King here. He's going to be represent tonight, King Ben-Hadad. This is going to be King Ben-Hadad. And then over here we have on this side, this is going to be King Ahab. Okay? King Ben-Hadad and King Ahab. Both sides represented here, King Ben-Hadad, he's Syria. We found out, we read in verse number 1, there were 32 other kings that came with Ben-Hadad, and they went against King Ahab and Israel. And on this side, he's got 32 kings. This guy, he's got the only one that really matters, and that's the Lord behind him on this side, King Ahab. And really what happens is something that, as a young child, this is everybody's favorite thing to do. At least it was when I was growing up anyway. I brought a little illustration. These guys are going to help me tonight. Cinder block, okay? Not too hard to gather what that is. But a piece of wood here. I don't want to hit you guys in the head. I'd ask you to carry it, but I wanted to have a job afterwards. So put holes in my walls, right? Like some of the teenage boys do. We'll just stop right there. So, We find out that these guys come to war. All right, King Ben-Hadad, come sit on this side. And King Ahab, right? King Ahab, is that your name? Okay, he's going to sit on this side. All right, just sit on it. I just want you to sit there for a second, all right? All right. These two guys, I was wondering if he's got long enough legs. He's good, okay? But here they're warring. Why don't you go ahead and start your war? Let's go back and forth. Come on, boys. There you go. They're warring back and forth here. Here they go. And then, all right, you can stop. And then, just hold it right there. Actually, you'll probably get tired. Why don't you have a seat? Kings have a seat, right? Then, I need somebody else. Joe, you look like a good messenger. Come here, Joe. Then, King Ben-Hadad, all right, now back, fellas. Can you step on that side? King Ben-Hadad, he says, you know, I see that I've got them outnumbered. The war's going my way. I can tell that I've pretty well got the victory. So, hold on to that. He says, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to send my messenger over to King Ahab, and I'm going to let him know, now's the time to turn over the gold and silver. Now's the time to turn all your stuff over. So, King, give to your messenger. Wait. What's your message say? Oh, the secret message. Okay, very good. Send it over to King Ahab. King Ahab, he gets the letter. He doesn't open it. He gets the letter. And he looks at the letter and he says, oh, I see the demands. I see what's here. And what does he do? We read it in verse number 4. He sends a message back. Send your message back. Here you go. He sends his message back and he says, all right, Lord, King Ben-Hadad, that's fine. I'll go ahead and I'll let you. Can you imagine? I can't fathom this. I have a hard time even believing this that he said. Go ahead and take my silver and my gold. You go ahead and have it. You go ahead and take it. The king of Israel, verse 4, answered and said, my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine. Whatever you want. Remember, this guy, king of Israel, he's got God on his side. He has the Lord on his side. This guy's got 32 guys behind him. He looks pretty scary. So what do we have in this seesaw battle teetering towards tolerance? What do we have? All right, guys, sit there. All right, teeter. Guess what happens? They're going back and forth. They're warring. All of a sudden, the message comes. And then guess what? Ahab decides it's not worth fighting anymore. You know what? Hey, fellas, how would you like if somebody says they're going to take your wives and kid? No, right? It's not happening. Over my dead body. That's not happening. You're right. All right, I'll put you down here. You know what happens? You guys can actually sit down. I appreciate your help tonight. Easy, kings, easy. Some might hurt themselves. I use that illustration just to kind of get the thought in your mind really about, you've been there, you've seen the seahorse. Really what happens, pretty much what happens is the guy who's heavier is the one who ends up on the ground. The other guy is straight up in the air, right? That's pretty much what happens. But what I want to parallel this evening is this thought. The first to move always loses. When it comes to compromise, the first to move loses. King Ahab tells King Ben-Hadad, why didn't he stand his ground? Why didn't he just say, get lost, man. I'm not listening to you. The first person that we see moved in this loses. But guess what? Look at verse 5. And the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sinned unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever it is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Hey, when you compromise, they're always coming back for more. They're always coming back a second time. You know, Ben-Hadad said, that goofball gave in. Let's see if he does it again. Let's find out what happens. If you're willing to move one time for the world, they will always demand that you move again. If you move once, they're going to move, they're going to find out if you're going to move again to see how you're going to respond. You see, the devil is always going to try and tempt you with something. If you do this, I'll give you this. It's always a battle. It's a seesaw battle back and forth. He's just looking to see if you're willing to compromise. Are you willing to be the first one that budges? You ever play the staring game? Just stare until that person blinks. The devil wants us to. You know, one of the greatest examples in the Bible, though, is in Matthew chapter 4, when Christ was tempted by the devil. He'd gone through 40 days fasting, and you know what he says? You know what the devil says? I'll give you all this. Look down there. Lord, I'll give you all this. If you'll just bow down. All these things I'll give you if you just bow down to me. If you'll just throw in the towel. My friend, the devil's a big fat liar. He's a liar and he's the father of them. He's going to sell you a bill of goods. That's what he's going to do. He tried to sell it to Jesus. I love what the Lord says. He says, get thee thence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Compromise? No, I'm sorry. Not going to happen. The Lord responded with the correct response. He gave him Scripture. He gave it right back to him. You know what the devil did? The Bible says, just walked away. He left. He got out of there. He got out of there. Tolerance is not a one-way street. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. My friend, tolerance is a dead-end street. Compromise is a dead-end street. We're going to talk about a little bit of that tonight. We will always be considered a roadblock when we won't tolerate sin. When you don't tolerate sin, you're a roadblock to somebody else, to the world. You're a roadblock. What do you mean you don't do that? What do you mean you guys don't go there? What do you mean you don't wear that? We begin to tolerate. Turn to where it all got started, or some of it where it got started. In 1 Kings, just a few pages back, 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. And it says this, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Hey, it started earlier than this. It started before. Compromise, that slippery slope, started before this. Ahab goes to the man of God here and says, hey, aren't you the guy that's causing all these problems? He says, it's not me, man. It's you. You're the one that's causing all these problems. God's not happy with you. You're the one that's beginning to compromise. It's amazing that the ones that adhere to truth are considered the troublemakers. Yes, sir. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Isn't that how it is? When they haven't changed. We all have to come to the understanding that the world, Satan, is going to attack us. It's just a matter of when. It's going to happen. He's going to attack us at our weakest time. He's going to come about at the time when it's not expected. But my encouragement is, don't allow their attacks to wear you to the point that you become tolerant of their sin. Don't become tolerant of the sin. And we don't have to go to work and listen to somebody cuss all day long. You don't have to stand there and listen, hey, sir, hey, ma'am, I'm a Christian. Would you mind not saying that? Would you mind? We don't have to be ugly to them. They might call us worse. They might continue to call us that. You know, you get to the point where you might have to walk away. You might just have to do that. But we don't have to listen to the dirty jokes. We don't have to do those things. We don't have to. I understand you all, you know, folks in this room work in a filthy work world. It's awful. Step away from the property here and just in a grocery store. Man, look down the aisle at something, which is very unusual that I go into a store, but if I... Is that a lady talking? Surely not. Hey, sir, hey, ma'am, would you mind? I've got kids here. And even then, I don't want to listen to it. Can you knock it off? Hey, when we don't say anything, we're compromising. You've chosen. You've made a choice. By not making a decision, you made a choice. King Ahab forgot who he had on his side. Let's not forget who we have on our side. Let's not forget who we serve. I've got five things tonight we'll look at here. Compromise, number one, compromise always leads to greater sin. Always. Compromise always leads to greater sin. Turn back to 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16. Let's see about this King Ahab again. 1 Kings 16 and verse number 30. And it says this, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." You see, Ahab wasn't the first to do wrong, but he did more wrong than the ones before him. There was a compromise. A compromise. Just remember, what we accept in moderation, the next generation will commit in excess. Mark it down, they will. It's going to happen. As a parent, if I become tolerant of sin, mark it down, the kids, my kids will perceive my tolerance as permission to partake in it. They're going to see it. They're going to look at it and say, you know, why is it when I was growing up, my parents didn't want me to watch something on television, but all of a sudden, our kids, when we get, it's okay? I don't think so. I don't think so. Folks, I think across the board, we ought to evaluate where are we at in this area of tolerance, compromise. A preacher mentioned it not long ago, but he was talking about Brother Gipp. Remember when Brother Gipp's here and he was referencing that, you know, how television has completely changed and somebody getting shot, and he went down through the illustration, and you know, it's gotten worse and worse. The more blood, the more guts, the more this, that, the better. People have become so, they've desensitized to what's out. It's crazy. It's crazy. But I think sometimes we've dropped the ball. We've dropped the ball because we've allowed sin. And then when sin happens, it's greater sin. It continues on after that. The compromise always leads to greater sin. Number two, we've got to keep moving. Compromise keeps on taking. It keeps on taking. If we went back, and I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but if we read the whole chapter, we find out that King Ahab, he even sends back to King Ben-Hadad and says, all right, the first one's okay, but the second one, that's not going to happen. You can't do the second thing. He agreed to the first one. Yet, why didn't he disagree with both of them? That's what I want to know. What happened? What happened to them? They keep on taking. You know, if we kept reading again about middle way through that, we find out that Ben-Hadad had escaped. And the prophet of the Lord said, hey, go destroy him. And King Ahab didn't listen. He let him escape. And then he let him escape again. In fact, he made a covenant with him. We found out at the very end of the chapter what really happened to King Ahab. In fact, verse number 42 of 1 Kings chapter 20, it says, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, this is the prophet, the man, the preacher saying to the king, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. He says, you didn't listen once, you didn't listen twice, you're next on the line. You're next on the line. Compromise just keeps taking. Keeps taking. Once we teeter towards tolerating sin once, time and time again, Satan will push for us to teeter again. Until our entire life is conformed to compromise. Towards tolerance. The whole time. The question, you know, this, it keeps taking. One day you don't read your Bible. Devil says, hey, day number two is okay. You didn't read it the first day. It's okay. Keeps taking. Then day two becomes day 10. Day 10 becomes a whole month. It just keeps snowballing, keeps going. The compromise keeps on taking. Number three, we find that we will never recover the ground we lose in compromise. You know, King Ahab never recovered all the gold and silver that King Ben-Hadad took. Never got it all back. Nor will we ever recover completely in our Christian life if we teeter towards tolerance in our lives. We're never going to get it all back. Compromise, we've gone so far, and then it's too hard to turn around. Too hard to go backwards. Too hard to do that. Hey, you know, I thought about this for some of the white-haired folks in this room. I thought about you tonight. You know, the greatest reason you shouldn't compromise so the next generation doesn't lose sight of where they should stand? I thought about, you know, I thought about Brother Gardner. I thought about you tonight. You know, tonight if Brother Gardner was here, Brother Tim, his son here, and one of his boys behind him. You know, if Brother Gardner decides to compromise anything, throw any sin out there, he begins to compromise, he takes a step back. You know, and the one behind him, his son, Tim, as he comes forward and watching his father, you know where he's going to stop? Wherever his father's at. Wherever his dad's at. And you know where the line of where he once stood is never going to be the line where the generations following will stand. Oh, it might happen, but that's more of the exception than the rule. More often than not, before you know it, the generation back here doesn't even see the line. Doesn't even know where the line's at. Because of a compromise. It should be a challenge. I look at folks in this church, older folks, and I see their faithfulness. And it's convicting. I see your faithfulness. And I see you come in the church and in some cases you hobble in. And I see folks that decide they weren't going to compromise. Hey, us younger generation, we should look for those and say, we're not going to compromise. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We will never recover the ground we lose in compromise. Hey, are you having trouble in certain areas? Maybe it's you're thinking about compromise on your King James Bible. Maybe that's been a thought. Maybe it's just about truth. Something that's been preached here and it's been delivered. The goods have been given. It's just, I don't know if I really believe that or not. That's how it starts. That's how it begins. Compromise begins as just that thought. Now, do I really believe what he said? Is that really truth? You know, number four, I got to keep moving. Number four, you lose your credibility when you compromise. You lose your credibility. Ahab's credibility was gone with his servants and with the people when he surrendered to the messengers of compromise. They were gone. They were gone. You lose your credibility. I thought about this because before coming to work here, I worked at a company that they were injection molding, or Ford and Chrysler company. And I know I've been praying, repenting ever since. No, I'm kidding, Brother Payne. I'm sorry. Ford and Chrysler, they were an injection molding company. And they provided or made the housing units for side mirrors, your knobs inside your vehicle. And there's a guy that I worked with. His name was Craig. And Craig, man, he did everything he could to get to see or find out if I was going to budge in the area of a Christian, you know, my Christian life. He would say things, well, I saw in the Bible over there, I've read before that, you know, wine's okay. And I read that, that's all right. Hey, you know, he would throw things out at me, you know, that would just, you know, they said something about a guy in the Bible had long hair. Why don't you got long hair? I mean, he was just there to, you know, guy that get underneath your skin, you know, that's the kind of guy he was. So one day, we were at a break and he said, hey, I got to go up front to get something. Would you mind going to my car? And there's a bag in my back seat. Would you mind getting it? I said, sure, I'll go get it for you. So he gave me, threw me his keys and he goes outside and, or I go outside and he, and I open the back door and look in the back seat and just a, like a grocery bag. So I pick it up and as I pick it up, the natural instinct is what's inside? I look inside and he's got a carton of cigarettes inside his bag. And I thought, no, I'm not doing it. Not going to happen. So what did I do? I opened that car back up. I threw those cigarettes back in the back seat, and I walked back inside, and he's just standing there, and he's got a smile on his face. And he said, "Well, where's the bag?" And I said, "You know I wasn't going to bring the bag back in here." He said, "Well, I just wanted to see if you really meant what you said about being a Christian." I said, "I do. I do mean what I say. In fact, I got several opportunities to witness to Craig that I know he never got saved. He came to our wedding, came here to this auditorium. I don't know. I've never made contact back, but you know what? I'd have lost my credibility with Craig if I'd have just, no big deal. I'll grab it. It's okay. It's just cigarettes. It's not that big of a deal." See, we slowly get to that stage of compromise. Our Christian character will constantly be checked for credibility. It's going to constantly be checked, Christian. Number five, compromise is never a faith move. Compromise is never a faith move. When we compromise, it's always a backwards movement, never a forward one. It's always backwards. You see, faith is always a forward direction. Hebrews 11:6 tells, without faith it is impossible to please Him. If we're going to move towards Christ, it's going to take, as they sang, faith. A lady sang tonight, faith is that child. As I think of it when had little kids and parents, when you had little kids and they were maybe on top of a ladder or some playground equipment or on stairs and they were at the top of those stairs and you're at the bottom and you're, all right, go ahead and jump. And they're up there and the look on their face is, this is way too far for me to go. I don't think I can do that. And what do we say? Hey, focus right here, right here. I'm ready for you. I'll catch you. Don't worry about it. I won't drop you. I'll hold on to you. I'll keep you. Keep just focus right here. Lock in right where I'm at. You know, sometimes I think that's what God tells us. Hey, just focus right here. Right here. But we stand up here like that little kid and we begin to look around and is everybody else doing it? What's going on? I don't think I can make it. And again, fear jumps in and then the doubt jumps in. And listen, Christian, adult, myself included, listen, we get the same point. What's everybody else doing? What are they doing? Oh, man. And then, I don't think I can do it. Now we're this far away. And now the jump's even further. Or if we just had the faith at the beginning, focus on Him, we'll land it. We'll make it. It's faith. But when we don't have that faith, it's stepping backwards. It's compromise. It's compromise. So, closing out tonight. See the time closing out. So then, what are you saying, Brother Mike? What are we supposed to do? What's it all boil down to? Well, Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. Was once delivered unto the saints. This verse says we are commanded to contend, not to tolerate. We don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to enjoy it, Christian. When we tolerate sin, we are contending against faith. We're contending against faith. You know, something else I believe is missing is to be steadfast. Steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, Christian, we as Christians are commanded to never move. Don't move. Hey, I don't care what age you are in this room tonight, there's that temptation to compromise. Satan is there. Figure out, am I going to obey Mom and am I going to disobey Mom? Am I going to listen, teenager, to peer pressure? Am I not going to listen to peer pressure? Adult, it's, am I going to go do this I'm not supposed to do, or am I supposed to go to church where I'm supposed to be? It's going to be that question. That is going to cross your mind at some point in time, because we know about the devil. He's a roaring lion. He's out there. He's seeking. He's looking. Where are we at? Hey, maybe tonight you're just teetering. Maybe it's in another area I didn't mention. Maybe it's dress. Maybe it's in whether we're deciding whether should we tithe or not. I don't know. Where are you at tonight? Are you just kind of wavering? Are you teetering? Are you just seesawing back and forth, playing that game? Or have you just said, you know what, I'm not moving. I'm steadfast. I know what I believe. I believe what I believe, and I'm not moving. I think we need some Christians. I'm guilty sometimes as well, that just I'm not going to compromise on that. I know that some days get long. You know, you come home, kids barking here, and this happens here, but you know what? Don't compromise. Don't give in. Don't give in to the devil. I'm not saying your kids are the devil, but don't give in. Okay? Listen, we may not be liked by the world, but we will always please God by standing and being steadfast. Always. It's about Him. That's what it's been from the beginning. King Ahab just didn't get it. He had several warnings. He just didn't get it. How many warnings will it be before the man of God has to come to us? Maybe not verbally. But the Holy Spirit says, all right, enough's enough. You've grieved enough. You've compromised enough. Enough's enough. Hey, Christian, you shouldn't move. Where are you tonight? Where am I tonight? In the area of this thing of teetering towards tolerance or compromise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Ladies, the instruments, if you'll come. Where do we stand tonight? Hey, remember, compromise always leads to a greater sin. Hey, you're giving in to sin. Remember that it's going to keep taking. Maybe you just need to come tonight and commit, say, I need to just put some roots down. I need to establish this thing. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to move. Maybe you're in the latter stage. Maybe you're just saying to yourself tonight, maybe I just need to recommit in this area. There's others behind me. There's people that are watching me. There's some Christians that are, you know what? They're depending on you tonight just to be faithful. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we stand to our feet. As the pianists begin to play, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's not saved. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Tonight's the night. Come to the altar. Use the altar. Maybe you're just struggling with this thing of compromise. Maybe it's just your faith. You need stronger faith tonight. What is it? All right, Heavenly Father, we thank You for, again, the opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray what was said would be a blessing. And Lord, I pray that we'd put down some steadfast things in our life. Lord, we'd be unmovable. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't give in to Satan or to compromise. Bless our preacher. Be with him tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen.